Would you please take your Bibles and be ready for just a moment? We're going to read in Isaiah chapter 9 as well as in John chapter 6. Thank you so much to our choir. I will tell you that if you were not here last Sunday night, if you were here and you weren't in the Christmas proper spirit before, you would be after that. And if you missed it, you probably want to find it online somewhere, and you want to watch the presentation by our choir and our youth choir and by our children's choir. Exciting times, of course, and we appreciate them always leading us in worship. Always do a fantastic job. Lord uses that to be able to get us ready for what He wants us to be able to hear today. We have been having our staff this year to light the Advent candle in their families so that you might be able to be sure to know some of them. And so we have a little bit different today, also different times. We don't know, no telling when we might do it, but we're lighting it now. And we're going to have the Miller family if they will come up at this time.
Good morning. It's a great day to be serving with y'all in the Lord's house. I am Zach Miller. I serve as part of our office staff here at Parkway Baptist Church. This is my wife, Meredith, and these are our three children, Hannah, who is 5, Noah is 3, and Caleb here is 9 months.
Today is the third Sunday of Advent. It's the day we light the only pink candle on the Advent wreath, the Shepherd's Candle. The shepherd's candle emphasizes the joy of the shepherds finding the Christ child and then sharing this joy with others. The color pink points us to the joy of the Advent season, joy found in the hope and peace of the Christ child. Our joy grows as we share the good news with others of Jesus' arrival. May have to light that later. Sorry. Okay, and here's today's scripture, Luke 2:8-11, 17-20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you loved each of us enough to come die on a cross for our sins. We thank you that you are the true meaning of Christmas, the true reason we celebrate it. In the hustle and bustle of the season, Lord, help us never to lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas, which is you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. How about a round of applause? We appreciate you sharing. Appreciate all of our staff. And thank you for coming and being a part. Listen, I'm glad to announce to you, you know, lots of things are happening this season anyway, and we're adding to that with things happening in church. So, glad to announce to you that we have a new staff member, Keith Phillips and family will be joining us on January the 5th to come as executive pastor and family. So we're excited to have him come. And we do have at the end of this service, first I think we have our youngest preschool choir that's going to be coming and singing today. And then after that we have a vote on the budget for 20. You know, always something going on. Vote on the budget for 25 is presented last week. We had an opportunity for discussion, up or down vote today, as our bylaws and all of those things require. So you can be in prayer for those things as well. But for now, this now is the Word of God. I'm going to have you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. We find these words in Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 6, to where it says for us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. We'll read the John 6 in just a moment, and you may be seated. We understand that a big part of the Christmas story is about prophecy. Over 750 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we have the prophecy, many prophecies, of course, in the Bible, but we have the prophecy of Isaiah, who says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." So this year, we're in the midst of looking back so that we might see new names for Jesus that we might be able to use as we move forward in Christ. Isaiah, when he gave these words over 3,000 years ago, he was looking forward to the time of there would be one who would be born, the time in Bethlehem, and now we're looking back to that time so that we might also be able to move forward and might know more. We're looking at these names written 3,000 years ago, but we're calling new names. Not that they're brand new to what we've heard before, but they become new in us when they're written on our hearts, and new when we are able to practice and be able to have that daily experience and to grow with Jesus. Are you following all of this? I've always wanted to do this with a crowd, and so I want everybody to please listen. I'll point in just a moment when something's about to come over the loudspeaker. I would say particularly if you are a child, a teenager, young adult, you want to listen. The rest of us can listen as well. But listen closely to this. Okay, now here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you actually heard something, would you raise your hand if you heard something? If you didn't hear anything, would you raise your hand? I'm one of those. Yes, I've got. So this is that tone called the mosquito tone that if you're under the age of 40, you likely did not hear that. It was first used in England because it's a high-pitched, annoying tone. Did it sound high-pitched, annoying to those of you that heard it? Yeah. So we love to annoy you while we're here in church. But first used by some store owners in England in order to keep some teenagers that were loitering around and try to keep them be able to move on. Teenagers use it sometimes today as their ringtone so that they can listen to it in class and the teachers won't be able to hear it. Now, we say it for a reason today because not everybody can hear it. I've had students come and bring it right up to my ear, and there's just nothing. It has something to do with the hairs inside your ear, and the more you age, the more those kind of stop listening to those kinds of tones. Well, do you know that not everybody hears Jesus when he speaks? Not everybody hears the voice of Jesus. Not everybody hears what Jesus is trying to tell you or trying to tell me if we're not in tune and we're not able to, and we're not trying to listen to what Jesus is telling us. Last week we talked about his name is wonderful. Today, in light of world events, what's happening in your life and mine, it seems fitting that we talk about Jesus as supreme counselor. So also serving as our text today is in John 6, beginning with verse 66 through 69, which in a moment of crisis or a moment of crisis of faith for the disciples, before John 6, 66, large crowds had followed Jesus. As a matter of fact, John had called them other disciples. But when Jesus began to explain that he is the bread of life and began to explain that he came down from heaven to give eternal life and true believers would need to eat his flesh and drink his blood, referring, of course, to identifying with Jesus on the cross, most of the crowd could not accept this teaching, and it was time for a separation for those who were willing to walk by faith and those who were not. John 6, 66 through 69 says this: "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" We want to ask the same question that Peter asked. Peter asked the question, revealed his faith: "Lord, to whom shall we go?" When we know the first name of Jesus as wonderful, he makes life worth living. He takes care of the purposes of life, and he makes it wonderful and exciting. When we know Jesus as the counselor, he helps in our decisions. Where we go when we are in trouble, when we're in need of counsel, and for the tough decisions that we face and for the everyday decisions. Like with the 12 disciples, who we go to for counsel says something about our character and about our faith. To help us reflect and understand why Jesus is called counselor, we're going to ask three questions today. And the first question is this: why do I need a counselor? Or why do we need a counselor? If you go on a trip abroad, you may do some things to get ready. You might call a travel agent. You might Google and find out some places that interest that you want to go to. You might be ready. You want to know maybe places that you might want to eat. You might even want to know how the facilities are. But you search long enough, everything you could possibly know is right there. Always be some surprises along the way. But that's fine for a trip or a vacation. But it does not always work that way in life. We do have a complete guidebook. It's called the Bible. It is exactly what God wants us to have. It's written to help us to be able to rely on the counselor for direction. But there are even some things that the Bible does not tell us. Can you think of some things, particularly that the Bible does not tell you? While it tells us, for instance, the kind of person that we are to marry, it doesn't tell us specifically who we are to marry. While it tells us that our careers and our jobs and whatever we do is to bring glory to God, it doesn't tell us what city to live in, or what we should buy, or what church to go to, and many other important decisions we make every day. These are decisions that are not always spelled out in black and white. So why do we need a counselor? Because most decisions in life have to be discovered. Most decisions in life have to be discovered. There's a false notion out there that says that we're able to know and decide the right things ourselves. There is pride that may be predominantly in men that says, I don't need anybody's help. I don't need to stop for directions. I can handle things on my own. Well, let me ask you, ladies, when your husbands tell you that you don't need to stop for directions or you can put this together without the instructions, do you always believe him? It's a dangerous to believe we can handle everything on our own, especially when we take that attitude when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. While there are many who know how to make a success perhaps out of their career, there are not so many that know how to make their success out of their walk with the Lord, or out of their marriage, or out of their home life, or any other number of important decisions. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 says this, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Some of the women said amen, but I think it's true probably for all of us. It should be easy to see why we cannot always see what is right, nor can we always make the right decisions on our own. We need a counselor because most decisions in life have to be discovered. But also, we need a counselor because you and I are born with a sinful nature. You and I are born with a sinful nature. We're born into sin. We all make wrong choices. We say to ourselves, we're not going to make that mistake again, and then we go right out and do it again. We often think that we know what is in our heart and we know what we're capable of or not capable of. But we might remember that Peter said just before Jesus was crucified, he said, not me, Lord, I'll never forsake you. Though all others flee, I never will. I will never deny you. But the truth is, Jesus knew Peter's heart much better than Peter did. And before the rooster crowed, Peter fled and he denied the Lord three times. Never say never. Have you heard that before? I would never do that. I would never do what he did. I would never say what she said. Never say never, because the truth is we do not know our own heart. We need a counselor to reveal to us our sins, to show us the difference between right and wrong, and to help us to be able to not only just do the right thing, to be able to do the very best thing. Also, we need a counselor because our way of thinking falls short of the mind of God. Our way of thinking falls far short of the mind of God. You might remember that prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. Which means we do not and we cannot automatically think like God. So we have a heart, scripture tells us, that is deceptive, deceives us into thinking we know best. We have a mind that is limited when it comes to the things of God. Add to that, we live in a world that opposes the things that belong to a godly life, and we are pressured to listen to worldly counsel, walk the wrong path, and adopt a selfish nature. How can we but think that we need godly counsel? It's part of the gospel message. It is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is the fact that we all need to recognize, in order to come to Christ, we've got to recognize that we have a need for God. Well, maybe you didn't need to be convinced that you needed some counsel, but let's answer the question, what qualifies Jesus to be named the counselor? What qualifies Jesus to be called the counselor? Do you know that Jesus has a purpose and definite plans for your life? We're not left adrift to wander aimlessly. Seeking his counsel is a spiritual necessity. James chapter 1 and verse 5, we use that verse quite a lot around here. It says, "And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." He wants to give us his counsel. He doesn't usually seek it from us. Although, can you think of times when Jesus asked the disciples their opinion or asked something of Jesus? And there were times, but always when he was asking in order to teach them, in order to test them perhaps. He said, "Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" At the feeding of the 5,000, in fact, Jesus asked one of the disciples, I think it was Philip, he said, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But then it says that Jesus asked him to test him, for Jesus knew what he would do. Jesus knows exactly what is right and what is best. When was the last time that you bought perhaps maybe a new computer or a new phone, or maybe you need to decide something about your satellite system or cable television or streaming, and you begin to ask perhaps people, family members, neighbors, those who are close to you? You get about as many opinions as people that you're asked. So you take those opinions, and often that you then you think to yourself, maybe, well, what is best? And based on that, maybe you, on good judgment, you make a decision. But with our Lord, there are no options. His counsel has assured certain purpose. Not everybody's qualified to give counsel. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that you've got to have some training in order to be able to put a shingle out, to be able to be called a professional counselor. If all it took was the gift of gab or wanting to share your opinion in order to be a counselor, we'd have a church full of counselors, I believe, that we would call that would be qualified. But there's a certain amount and type of education, training, examination that goes into being a professional counselor. Yet we find Jesus, 750 years before his birth in Bethlehem, being advertised as the counselor. Well, what are his credentials? First one is this: Jesus is eternal God. Jesus is eternal God. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 are text for today, and even this season kind of serves as proof that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord God. Isaiah writes, "Unto us the child is born. The humanity of Jesus is proclaimed." Then right after that, the Son is given. The deity of the Son of God is announced. Only Jesus and none other have the perfect credentials of being 100% man and at the same time 100% God. The Bible talks about you and me being immortal. That is, we did not exist until we were born into this world. And then yet, we know and recognize that we can live with Jesus forever. We can become immortal so that we might be able to live with him. But here we have Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or eternal. That is, without beginning or ending. Now notice the next names that are mentioned there after the name of Counselor. It is Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Spoiler alert, we'll talk about one or more of these in the days to come. But we recognize that he exists as Mighty God. Jesus is Everlasting Father. These are his credentials as Counselor, and that's probably enough. But we recognize that also Jesus does understand. Jesus does understand more than anyone else. Maybe you've heard someone say, or you've said it yourself, "You just don't understand. Nobody understands." Well, that cannot be said of our Savior, who was born of Mary, had every temptation and every feeling that you've had. The Bible says that he grew, labored, suffered, and died. In fact, the writer of Hebrews goes in depth and tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, for that in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those who are tempted." Christmas itself is evidence that he is a qualified counselor because he was born amongst us. We can be sure that he understands. Maybe that's why we make such a big deal about Christmas. And it's okay that we do. It is a big deal because his birth, particularly his virgin birth among common people, makes him the qualified counselor. But also, what else qualifies him? Jesus always loves us unconditionally. Jesus always loves us unconditionally, and he proved that on the cross. And Jesus loves us so much that he wants us to be able to know the truth, and he does not keep the truth from us. Maybe you have known people who kept the truth from you, thought maybe this will be the loving thing today. I won't tell you the truth, or maybe won't tell you the whole truth. It just seems the more loving thing to do. Then there are those who will tell you the truth without any thought of your feelings while not doing it in a loving way. And there are plenty of people who love to tell you the truth and what they think is true, but not always in the most loving way. Jesus is able to mix the two and to always speak the truth in love. He does not always keep us from problems in this life, but he prepares us for life's problems, helps us to face them courageously and honestly. Phillips Brooks, the writer of Old Little Town of Bethlehem, he said this. He said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task." He's patient with us as he was with his disciples and all of their questions and their lack of understanding and their own selfishness. We have the same character flaws, yet he does not give up on us. We recognize that Jesus is qualified to be our counselor. So then there's a third question. Well, how does Jesus give us counsel? We might recognize that he is the great counselor. He has great counsel, qualified for that, but wouldn't it be nice to know how? Jesus being born in Bethlehem, becoming flesh for us, is great evidence he wants to speak to us today. So here are some ways that Jesus wants to speak to you even now and in this very place. Jesus wants to speak to you through his word. Jesus wants to speak to you through his word. The Bible is the only complete and adequate source for knowing God, his will, what's right and what's wrong. I become amazed at people who want to know God's will and even want to know what God's word says, yet they never find themselves opening his word. God's revealed his will to the people who are daily reading his word, those who are people whom God uses. If you've ever traveled a highway, maybe between Tampa and Fort Lauderdale, at least it used to be, hadn't been down there in a while, but it used to be there, miles and miles of orange groves. There was a minister and his family who were traveling along that way, stopped at a restaurant to eat breakfast one morning, and as they did, the minister and family will remain nameless, but they came in, ordered orange juice, and took the order along with the rest of the order of the breakfast, and after a few minutes, the waitress came back and said, "I'm sorry, our juicing machine is not working. We cannot get you any orange juice." The minister, who shall remain nameless, said, "I'm looking out the window. I see oranges. Would it be okay if I squeezed it myself?" Well, he probably could have been more understanding. The restaurant had become so dependent on the machine that when it broke down, they could not even serve one glass of orange juice. Well, we're surrounded by Bibles everywhere. Most of us have several in our home, but if something were to happen to our Sunday morning time or maybe even to your Sunday school or Bible study class, many of us would not even look for our Bibles, and many believers would have no nourishment for their souls whatsoever. We are used to somebody else squeezing out the word for us rather than doing it for ourselves. The problem is not lack of spiritual food or God not speaking to us. The problem is believers not making the effort to get what is most clearly communicated in his word. Also, Jesus wants to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, the Helper. What else is the Holy Spirit called? The Counselor. Jesus is called the Counselor, and he teaches us, the Holy Spirit, through the word. He directs our path. He reminds us of the teachings and the examples of Jesus Christ. Sometimes in the scripture, even the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ living in you. Now, the Holy Spirit is not our conscience. I get that question often, but he works with our conscience and guides and our conscience along paths of righteousness. The Holy Spirit is of God dwelling in all believers. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 25, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have told you." The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do anything contrary to what God's word says. And as a third person of the Trinity, we serve one God. We know him in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, always in conjunction with what God's word says. Maybe you've heard this silly story. A man went into the doctor's office and then both of his ears were burned. And doctor said, "Man, what happened to you?" He said, "Oh, it was the weirdest thing." He said, I was ironing and the phone was right next to the iron. The phone rang and I picked up the iron and answered the phone. And worst thing about it was a wrong number. He said, "Oh, well, what happened to the other ear?" The guy called back. Well, how foolish we are when we do not listen to the voice of the Spirit as He directs our path. We do have an advantage. What most people have to learn by experience or the school of hard knocks or never learn, we can learn from God's Word and from the Holy Spirit. There's no need for God's people to have to learn the hard way by suffering the bitter consequences of sin again and again. We can learn from the Word. We can learn from His Spirit. Often avoiding sin and its consequences and be wiser for it. We understand that Jesus is exalted in our faith, and our gratitude is shown to Jesus as we follow both His Word and His Spirit. But also, how does Jesus give counsel? Jesus wants to speak to you through circumstances. Jesus wants to speak to you through circumstances. Often God uses our circumstances to give us counsel and direction. I read a sign in a classroom the other day that read, "God is watching you. He loves you too much to take His eyes off of you." Well, we do need to be careful how we discern our circumstances and God's will. Just because something is uncomfortable or something is a hardship does not mean that it's not God's will. Can you think of biblical examples of people who may have been uncomfortable but still in God's will? We know that twice the disciples were in a boat going to the other side. One time Jesus was even in the boat and they came across a storm. They feared for their very lives. Paul was in a storm and he was shipwrecked on his way to Rome to be able to share the good news of the gospel. He, Peter, John, Silas, and others were in jail. They were beaten and stoned, martyred for their faith. So sometimes while or because of serving God, we will face difficulties. Well, how do we distinguish the difference? In other words, what is of God and what is of not of God? Well, He knows our circumstances, our hardships, and our struggles. We often ask, why does God allow this or why has that happened? We may not always be able to answer completely, but sometimes we know that God is using whatever is happening so that we might be able to get back on track. Sometimes God is using what is taking place so that we might be strengthened, that our faith might be strengthened, or to prepare us for what's next. But we know He's using everything that happens in life to bring us closer to Him, to put us in step, and that we might look a little bit more like the counselor. May every child of God know that the Father is always in control. Nothing happens unless it sifts through the fingers of God, and He uses most everything to point the way to the will of God. Also, we know that Jesus wants to speak to you through other believers. Jesus wants to speak to you through other believers. One of the blessings of Christian fellowship is the local gathering of believers that we might be able to have the encouragement, that we might be able to follow along the Lord's will, that we might be able to experience life together and to hear from one another and get wise counsel from one another. How tragic it is when a church becomes a place of distrust and gossiping, backbiting, rather than an environment of growing and building one another up. How thankful I am for Parkway Baptist Church. It is a place that we can come and we can find ourselves encouraged in a spirit of unity. Though this does come with a warning, in listening to others, choose wisely. Listen to godly advice and weigh it carefully through God's Word and how the Holy Spirit leads. Now, before you put your notes up, maybe one other thing that you might want to write down. Knowing and discerning the counsel of Jesus and the decisions of life is not always easy. But when you consider the Word of God, when you consider the work of the Holy Spirit that is in every believer, when you consider the circumstances that you may or may not be in or that you may be facing, and when you consider the counsel of other believers, it will help us to be in step with what the Lord would have us to do and to make the decisions that we need to make. These are ways in which the Lord is speaking to us. And the benefits of following the counsel are far more than we could think or imagine. I've heard many a testimony about people who knew God's will, and yet they were running from God's will. They knew what God was calling them to do, but they ran from it instead. I'm not sure, but that those type experiences where people know what God wants and then runs from it are not the exception instead of the rule. Hear me here. I believe that for the most part, God speaks to people who are ready to listen and ready to obey. John chapter 7 verse 17 says, in the Living Bible, it says, if any of you really determines to do God's will, then you will certainly know whether my teaching is from God. Someone said, you might want to write this down, God doesn't give his counsel to the curious or the careless, but to the concerned and to the consecrated. He gives his will to the concerned and to the consecrated. In other words, those who really want to know God's will, and they set themselves aside under the direction of the Holy Spirit to do whatever God wants us to do, regardless of what that is. Okay, are you ready to listen again? Don't play. Hear this. Did you hear the Lord speaking? Are you listening to him today? Would you recognize his voice? When he showed up in person, not many recognized him there in the stable of Bethlehem, but he was the one who Messiah called the Counselor. And he is speaking to you today. And if you do not know Jesus, because you're in the sound of my voice, that the Lord is knocking on your heart's door, asking you to let him come in, asking him to forgive you of your sin, asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And if you know Jesus today, it may be that the Lord is speaking to you today so that you might, in your daily decisions and tough decisions and in those things that he would have you to do, that you would be listening to the sound of his voice. May we be ever more in tune in listening to what the Counselor would have to say to us. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come and be able to worship you. We thank you for this season of the year when we recognize that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who came into the world so that we might be able to know, so that we might be able to know the truth about Jesus, so that we might be able to know him personally. Father, today we pray for all who are here. If there's someone that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may today be the day of salvation. We pray also today, Father, for all those who are believers here today, may today be the day that we become even more in tune, even closer. If we've been far away, may we be brought closer to you today. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship you. It's in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we lift these prayers. Amen. Would you please stand? Before our children come and sing, we're going to give you opportunity. I'm going to be standing down here. We're going to sing together, continue in worship. And as we do, if the Lord is leading you to make a decision today, if you need to come accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior today, you just come let one of us know. Some of our ministry team is down here. We'll be glad to talk with you. Come and tell me. If you'd like to join the church today, we'd like it to be very clear that you can walk down the aisle as soon as we start singing today. You can come and you can let us know that you want to join. It's one way in which you can join. There are other ways as well, but you can come and let us know. We'll tell you the next steps from there. Altar's open if you'd like to come and pray, or come and pray with one of us. You come as we sing together.